Hello, Jason.
Hello, Carol Burnett. This is quite
the... How are you?
Good. Quite the treat for a random Thursday here in January.
Well, thank you.
Thanks so much for coming on. So,
sure.
Obviously, we're here to talk... I guess it's a guest role, although I think you're returning as Aunt Deb, right? In the new
right.
Hawaii.
Right. This will be the third time I've been on as McGarrett's aunt on Hawaii Five-0.
Yes, this is the new Hawaii Five-0 on CBS. Mm-hmm. And when was the first time you played the role, and the second, and now the third?
It was about 2 years ago.
Okay.
So I've been on every year since then. This is my third appearance.
And the episode this weekend, the latest one, is about stolen Japanese World War II bombs left hidden on Hawaii. What's the deal?
Well, actually, that's not part of my storyline. McGarrett and I have a different storyline. They do two storylines on shows like this, you know, where there's an A line and a B line.
Sure.
And
well, what's your guy's story?
Our storyline is I've come back after I had been away for a while, and I have a bucket list of stuff that I want to do before I cash it in. So that's the storyline. And so it's funny, but it's also bittersweet.
Gotcha. Why do you keep coming back? I mean, a lot of people guest star just once, but what keeps bringing you back to
Five? They asked me, and I said, I love the writing. I like the show very much. And I'm crazy about Alex, who plays McGarrett. And
mm-hmm.
we have some good scenes together. And both off and on, we have off camera and on camera, we have a very good rapport.
Awesome. I know the original Hawaii Five-0 started, I think, in 68, right around the same time as your show, which Carol Burnett's show, in 67. Did you watch the original one? Were you a fan while you were doing your show?
Welcome,
as well?
Welcome, Dano. Sure. Yeah, and then I was a guest star, not on that, but years later, I was on Magnum,
mm-hmm.
PI, and that's when I first met Larry Minetti, who was on that show, and Larry has a running role now on Hawaii Five-0. So it was he who got me in touch with the producer of Hawaii Five-0, and they said, will you come on and get in the sandbox and play with us? So I was really happy to do that.
Man, few people must be as fun to play in the sandbox as you, because you're outside the box. That is great. So I had no idea. So that actually dates back to a Magnum PI connection. Okay.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And then you've done appearances all the way up through, I think, Glee. I mean, you've been all over stuff. Speaking of remakes like Hawaii Five-0, I know your legendary role is Miss Hannigan and Annie. That just got remade too, with Cameron Diaz, I think, played it in the new one. What's your take on these old classics getting remade? Is there a place for it? How do you do it right?
Well, I don't really know. It depends. Sometimes I think they're probably pretty good, and sometimes I think they should be left alone. Like, there are certain movies that shouldn't. Like, okay, a classic, It's a Wonderful Life.
Right.
I don't think you can do that any better than what it was. You know what I'm saying?
What a great movie.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny you say that, because Gone with the Wind wasn't untouchable for you with Scarlett O'Hara.
Well, it wasn't exactly a remake. It was a total send-up.
Exactly.
You know? Our excuse was that at that time when we were doing it, it was going to be shown on television. No. It was going to be shown, and they redid it, you know, the color and all of that, and
mm-hmm.
Made the print better, and so it was going to be re-released in the movie theaters. So our premise was, for those of you who can't sit through it for 4 hours, we'll do it for you now in about 20 minutes. It was brilliantly written by two of our young writers, and then, of course, the iconic costume that Bob Mackie came up with can't be beat. You know, it was one of the funniest sight gags on television ever when he came up with the idea of putting the curtain rod in that dress.
Was that thing uncomfortable?
It was heavy. It was heavy, yeah. But I wasn't in it that long in the sketch.
You know?
It was just really coming down the stairs and stuff. But, oh my gosh, nobody had seen it until we were taping, you know, and the crew and, of course, the audience, was a major, major laugh.
No one could keep it together, even on set.
It was hard.
How did you keep it together?
I was biting the inside of my cheek.
Awesome.
To keep from laughing, because I didn't want to spoil it. You know, we broke up a lot, but we never intended to or wanted to. It was usually Tim Conway's fault.
I know, man. I'm sure that's probably one of the sketches that most people come up to you about. Which other ones? Are there any other ones from the show that everyone brings up all the time?
Oh, they talk about the family, you know, with Eunice and Dad and Mama, that highly dysfunctional trio. And the movie Takeoff, again, and the dumb secretary, Mrs. Wiggins, and Mr. Tudball, which Tim created. He wrote those. And, yeah, there's different ones. And, you know, we're all over YouTube. And I'm getting fan mail from 10-year-olds. It's just wonderful.
Is there one that's, you know, the famous ones you listed with the family and, you know, the curtain rod? But is there any one that you thought kind of went overlooked that was more of a personal favorite of yours?
Well,
like an underrated gem?
No, I actually, we got really good response from when we did A Pillow Talk, a takeoff on that. We did a takeoff on Mildred Pierce, the From Here to Eternity, Double Indemnity, all those good old movies that were, you know, in the 40s.
Oh, yeah. Three of my favorites.
Yeah, they were great. And you know who was wonderful as a guest? He was a brilliant comedic actor, Steve Lawrence.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He was in, like, we did African Queen, we did Double Indemnity with him, wow. And From Here to Eternity, and he was just hysterical. He used to say, if you run long, cut my song, but don't cut the sketch.
That's great. You mentioned Double Indemnity, and obviously you worked with Billy Wilder on the Front Page, and you mentioned African Queen, and you worked with John Huston on Annie, obviously.
Right.
Before we go, let me just throw out a couple of these names of these great filmmakers you work with, and just tell me, you know, the first thing that you remember, man. Like, what do you remember working with John Huston? What was his secret?
He would do maybe one take, and then it would be it. He was very planned out. He knew exactly what he wanted, and I don't think we did more than two takes, you know, on a scene. And one of my favorite pieces of direction he gave me was the first day I was going to be shooting a scene. And I went up to him and I said, Mr. Huston, how do you want me to play this? How do you see me doing this? And he said, just cavort, dear. Just cavort.
The guy was such a genius. And a great actor, too. I mean, Chinatown and everything else.
But oh, yeah.
What about Billy Wilder? How did he maybe differ from Huston?
He, again, he never did coverage of anything. He knew how, if he was going to have a scene with a bunch of people in it, that would be it. He wouldn't go and do the scene over and over again with close-ups of anybody. Or if it was going to be a close-up of Jack Lemmon, that was it for that scene, you know. So he had it all planned out.
Man, that's great. And then you had Peter Bogdanovich in Noises Off. What was his trademark for you?
Well, I just loved his stories that he would tell.
Yeah.
He loved telling stories, and he was very, very sweet, actually. Peter was very sweet.
And then also Alan Alda directed it, too, right? Four Seasons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He wore several hats for that film. He was the writer, the director, and the star, and I think a co-producer of the Four Seasons.
Wow. Yeah.
And then I loved working with Robert Altman.
Oh, the guy was genius. We were just talking about him in here the other day. The guy. Do you have a favorite Altman movie other than the one you were in?
I think probably Nash in Nashville.
God, they're so great.
Yeah.
They repay on repeat viewings, you know? You see all the people in the background doing different things. It's just amazing.
Oh, yeah. No, and he loved it if you improvised.
Yeah, definitely. And planting all the mics on all the characters. Oh, it's just great.
That's
ensemble
right.
Stuff. Great stuff.
That's right, yeah. He got us all together before we were going to do a wedding. There were, you know, the whole cast, and he said something I never heard a director say before or says. He said, if any of you have an idea for a scene that you're doing for dialogue or how you want to play it or something, I want you to come to me with your suggestion, because some of the best scenes I've ever had in my movies have been brought to me by the actors.
Isn't that something? Is
wow. But then he said, you know, either I'll do it, I'll take your idea, or I won't. But I do want you to come to me with any suggestion you might have.
Do you find that was the case on, you know, with comedy too? Not just these films, but like even on your show, the idea of improv friendly? Yeah.
Absolutely. And I have to give our writers credit because, you know, nowadays there's so many writers, they don't want you to change one word.
Right.
But we'd be rehearsing and maybe Harvey would come up with a thought, or Tim or me or Vicky, and we'd say, well, let's try that. And we'd show it to the writers, and they would say, hey, That made it funnier. Thank you.
You've listed a lot of these classic filmmakers, but did you have like a comedy idol when you were growing up, like Lucille Ball, anything like that?
Well, for me, you know, I didn't watch back in the covered wagon days. I didn't grow up on television, and so by the time I was really watching anything regularly, I was in New York, living in a boarding house, and I would watch Caesar's Hour every Saturday. So Sid Caesar was, to me, he was an idol. And I think, you know, when I got my show, I wanted it to be like the Gary Moore show that I was on, mm-hmm. as a second banana, but also like Sid, you know, to have a rep company and to have do sketches and takeoffs and movie things and movie takeoffs and stuff like that. And that's what I really loved doing. But Sid's show really was my favorite.
Absolutely. Well, 6 Emmys and 2 Golden Globes later, I think, can you look back? I mean, can you look, if you were, you know, your childhood self and you saw all the success, would you just not even believe it?
I wouldn't believe it. I never dreamed, you know, because as a kid, I wanted to be a cartoonist, and then later I wanted to be a journalist, so the bug didn't bite for me with show business until I got to UCLA. Yeah, I never dreamed I would wind up doing this, but I'm sure happy I did.
Did Spotlight make you want to be a journalist again?
Oh, wow, yeah. I joined the Daily Bruin and all, but then I took a class in theater arts English because it offered writing courses, playwriting courses.
Gotcha.
But then being freshman, you had to take, if you majored in theater arts, you had to take scenery, lighting, mm-hmm. and acting. And so I got into this acting class, and I did this funny scene, and I heard the laughs, and I thought, oh, that's really nice. And so that's when it happened.
You were hooked. But is the cartoonist still come out every now and then? Do you doodle on the script pages?
I'll send, for charity, you know, I get a lot of requests to do a doodle or something, you know, and I'll do that. But I don't draw that much anymore.
Awesome. Well, we're looking forward to seeing you,
you
doodling on Hawaii Five-0 here. And are you going to come back and do a fourth appearance ever?
If they ask me.
Well, you hear that, CBS? She wants to come back. All right. Thank you so much for being generous with your time.
Thank you, darling. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Carol Burnett on WTOP. Thank you.
Thank you, dear.